Well, May 24th, 2002 was my story. My family and I were traveling to a family vacation in Forest City, Arkansas. For those of you who don't know where that is, it's southeastern part of Arkansas, kind of by Little Rock, Arkansas. Done it every year, big family reunion. So on the way there, we have a flat tire outside of Fayetteville. No big deal, changed a lot of tires growing up in Kansas. Took all the necessary precautions. It was probably, you know, 5 or 6 in the evening. We got off the interstate, Highway 40 there, because we thought it was too busy, so we took an exit, put the hazard lights on, pulled off to the side. You know, we were out of harm's way. Well, my mom, my dad, my brother Trent, Travis, and myself, we were the ones that were traveling. Well, we were in two separate cars, because my mom was just going to stay down there because they took turns taking care of my grandma, who was in her 90s at the time, and because she teaches school during the year, the rotation didn't work for her to go down there during the year, so her time was during the summer. So we were taking two cars, and when we had a flat in the truck, my dad and my younger brother Trent, they decided to get back on the interstate, try to double back and see if they could get to a convenience store or somewhere to get a better jack for the vehicle, because cars today, jacks are terrible in cars today. So they went to try to get a better jack, and so that left my mom, my dad, and Travis to tackle this problem of our truck. So mom was the lookout somewhat, and Travis was up under the truck first, trying to set the jack under the wheel well there, and me being the big brother, Travis, get out of the way, you don't know what you're doing. So he slides out, and I slide up under the car. So the truck is right here, rough on the exit ramp, and I'm sliding up under the truck here, trying to put the jack under the wheel well, and my mom's in front of the truck, being the lookout. Well, you see her car, or another vehicle coming off the interstate there, and mom wasn't thinking anything about it. She's thinking this is somebody that saw us on the road and was gonna stop and help. So car pulls off and keeps coming. So probably luckily, I mean, I'm sure my mom was in shock, but it was probably lucky that she didn't say, honestly, when you look back at that, she didn't say look out or yell my name, because I would have raised up. Well, it happened so fast that the car hit the back of our truck, and the truck popped up, landed on me, and drug me down into the ditch there. So that's, you know, kind of happened. But, you know, in hindsight, if she would have said, Sean, look out, then, you know, could have decapitated me, or, you know, things could have been a lot worse than what it was. So luckily, it was a bad situation. I knew right away. I had terrible pain in my shoulder blades there, so I knew something was wrong right away. And luckily, we were not too far from the hospital, from Washington Regional Hospital. Ambulance was there pretty quick. They got me into surgery, but at that time, my mom and dad, the doctor would tell my mom and dad, you might want to make arrangements or make all the calls you can, because you might not, it doesn't look like he's going to make it. Now, I've gone through all three sports in my career, never had it so much as a broken finger, arm, leg, sprained ankle, nothing, not at all. But all in a blink of an eye, bang, changes. So, you know, I'm in surgery. I get out of surgery, and I remember the doctor distinctly. The doctor comes to my bedside there, and he says, son, you know, you broke your neck at the T1 or C7 T1 vertebrae. And, you know, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to biology. I did enough to get by. But that is right there in your shoulder blade area, and your spinal cord controls everything in your body. So I like to think of the spinal cord, and you know, young kids today probably don't know, because everybody's on a cell phone, but you know, you have your old phones, you have long cords. So if you cut the cord and open up the casing there, you got wires that run into the cord. and that's kind of how your spinal cord is. Well, your spinal cord controls everything that you do, whether you breathe, walk, move, sweat, all types of things that I never thought of in a million years. So he tells me that, you know, life as you know it's going to change, you're paralyzed from the waist down. So in that moment, imagine letting that sink in. You're paralyzed from the waist down. So all this is going through my head, because at that moment you feel like you'd almost rather die. But the prashan that you knew beforehand is no more. Life as I knew it is going to change dramatically. So when you think about things, you know, just a few days, 2 hours earlier, I just walked out of the convenience store. We were getting gas a few hours earlier. A couple days before that, I had come back to Fort Scott, and I went to the middle school to visit a good friend, and went to the high school to visit some old teachers, I shouldn't say that, some of my past teachers, just, you know, a couple hours ago, or a couple days ago. A couple days before that, I was in New York City, living in New York City. A couple days before that, I was in Times Square, walking around. A little bit before that, you know, I'm interviewing to become the head coach at St. John's University. You know, I'm excited because, you know, people here at Fort Scott don't get a chance to see me on ESPN. So all that changed in a blink of an eye. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, man, I'm not going to be able to play and catch with my son anymore. You know, I'm not going to get a chance to go out and play basketball with some of my old, and we don't play as much as we used to, but I'm not going to get the chance to play basketball anymore. You know, I'm thinking in my mind, maybe I should have came home the weekend before because my brother Travis had just graduated from Pitt State. Thought I'd come the weekend before, but this has happened. So all these things play in the mind. And I'm thinking, you know, what in the world's going on, Lord? You know, I wasn't a troublemaker in school. I was low-key. I went to church regularly. And I'm thinking, why has this happened to me? You know, there's a lot of people who seem like, pardon my French, but raise all kind of hell around, and doesn't seem like anything ever happens to them. There's the people that's trying to do right, that something always happens. So those are the things that, you know, were going through my mind at the time. And, you know, I never felt more depressed or away from God from when I got hurt. You know, I just couldn't get a grasp on why this, you know, happened to me. And the doctor was telling me, you know, I'm in Fayetteville, and he was like, well, our hospital, you know, doesn't normally handle these type of things, so you're going to have to fly to Denver, Colorado, and I'll probably be there for the next 5 to 6 months. You know, I have a neck brace from my neck down to my chest. You know, what am I supposed to do with that? You know, I'm on my back, can't move, and when he said you're paralyzed, I mean, he was not lying. I couldn't move anything. And on top of that, I broke my arm as well. And so, as my parents were, as they're getting ready to fly me out to Denver, you know, my parents, you know, weren't prepared for any of this, so they had to drive back to Fort Scott, try to get everything situated, and they were gonna turn around and drive out to Denver, you know, as quick as they could. So it also gave me a time to kind of sit and reflect. So when I got to Craig Hospital in Denver, Colorado, where I did my rehab, you know, they set it up. It was kind of a neat deal. They set it up as just like school, really, because you got to learn a new way of life. So when you get to Craig, they assign you a team. So in that team, you have your doctor, you have your psychologist, you have your occupational therapist, you have your physical therapist, you have your insurance benefits specialist, and then you have your main nurse. So you have a team. And then with this being a life-changing injury, you know, it's probably good that they assign you a psychologist, because you got to have somebody to talk to. So while I was there, my psychologist, his name was Lester Butts. Good guy, very good guy. So as I got situated, you know, I'm there by myself, staring at white walls in the room. Lester comes to my room, and he decides to we decided to go. He asked how I am, asked me what my background is, and we kind of get to know each other. And as we did that, we went out of the room there, and he pushed me down in the wheelchair. He offered to buy me lunch there. And it was free since I was a patient. Anyway, so he was trying to lighten the load. So as I was heading back to the room after we had a talk session, Lester handed me a napkin, and on the napkin, I had a Bible verse. I said, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and that was written on the Bible verse. So, as I get back to the room, he didn't say anything. He just handed me the napkin, make sure I was situated, let the nurse know I was back, and he took off. So, at first, I was frustrated, I'm looking for some insight. Bible verse wasn't what was on my mind at this particular time. And I had heard, from other nurses, oh, you're Will Lester? Man, he's a great psychologist and this and that. And I'm thinking in my mind, no. This guy, who, I'm looking for some medical insight, not a Bible verse, So anyway, the next day, and they line you out when you're there, so every hour is spent. So, from 8 to 9, you got to get x-rays, 9 to 10, you're somewhere else, 10 to 11, blah, 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 so on and so forth. So the next day, it was time for me to go to my occupational therapist. Well, my occupational therapist, her name is Kathy. Great lady. And occupational therapy is a little different from physical therapy. Occupational therapy, they go back and work with you on, I had to relearn how to deal with cars, you play Connect Four, you do some finger things. So I met with her, and she could tell by my voice I wasn't very happy going in there. And she was like, well, how's your time with Lester? And I was like, this guy gave me a Bible verse. And she said, well, this would be good occupational therapy for you, so let's go get a Bible. So she had me get a Bible and to get some practice with my fingers, I had to look up, we looked up the verse. So I go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and the verse says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So hearing that verse, I still didn't feel much better because it just made me a little more frustrated. So you're trying to tell me the single verse is telling me that God's will for me is to be thankful in all circumstances. Well, how can I be thankful for this? So after that, Kathy was like, let that sink in. Our time is up, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. So in my mind, I'm like, hey, everybody in this hospital is crazy. my parents are up here, somebody I know, we can figure this out. So the next day, I go back to occupational therapy for my occupational therapy time, and Kathy proceeds to tell me a quick story. And she tells me about a lady who was sitting in church with her little boy. And the little boy was standing up in the pew. And the mom was telling him, sit down, honey, before you get hurt. And so the little boy, like little kids do, not listen. So he continues to stand, and the mom looks over at him and says, sit down. I'm not going to tell you again. The little boy looks at her, shakes it off, still continues to stand. So finally the mom gets frustrated and just pulls him down. And so the kid's sitting there huffing and puffing, and then looking back at his mom pretty soon, he says, I just want you to know I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. This is fine. So that's what Kathy told me. There are times in our lives that you're going to fail to give thanks because of the things that you're going through. But it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be angry and still be thankful. And so that's what she was telling me. Even though you're sitting down on the outside, you can't let that frustrate you. You have to first learn how to stand on the inside before you have to fix your inside first before you can fix your outside. So again, she was like, let that sink in. My pastor likes to say, you get that on the way home. So when my mom made an English teacher and we said, had many conversations I'm going to have a little bit of an acronym for you all today. So in order to stand, we must first start with the S and stand. So the S represents, you know, in rehab, you've got to gain your strength back, your physical strength. I lost a ton of weight. You know, those that knew me in high school, I wasn't that big to begin with. I was pretty skinny. So in the hospital, you know, I didn't have an appetite. I had to drink Ensure, which is horrible. I was, you don't realize how much it takes out of you. Like, and I was in the bed for so long that the first time I did, the nurses put me in the chair, in the wheelchair, you know, I was ready for a nap. You know, they had to take me back out to take a nap. So it just takes so much, you know, out of you. But in order to gain your physical strength, first, you must gain some spiritual strength. And so that's what they were trying to tell me, that you have to go and lean on Scripture. When we feel weak or overwhelmed, we must remember that our strength comes from the Lord. And so that's why it was perfect to have Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So next, you know, we covered the S. We go to the T. So the T represents trust. You know, faith is about trust. Trust in God, even though we don't understand His plan. And so that was one of the biggest things I was struggling with, is trying to understand His plan. And we all struggle with trust. You know, trust requires us to place our situation in God's plans. And earlier I talked about a storm, and we need to understand that not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some storms come to clear a path for you. You might not see it at the time, but once you go through it, you see what God has in store for you. So our human nature, you know, we want stuff to happen right now. And just the way we're in our society right now, we have everything is instant. We microwave, cell phones, we get mad when the internet's not going fast enough. You know, all these things. We go to Sonic, McDonald's, foods right there. So gone are the days when you have to wait on mom or your dad or grandma to cook, and you have to wait on that time and let the meal prepare. And that's just the way that we've been brought up now, that we have no patience. We want answers, you know, right now. We've been spoiled. So Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And so, you know, again, that is tough. We have to learn to trust. You know, everything's on God's time. It's not our time. It's on God's time. Now our A in stand represents attitude. That's a tough one. Say that again. A represents attitude. Yeah. The only disability in life is a bad attitude, or having a bad attitude. You know, it's just natural. When things go wrong, it's just natural to complain. And I'm guilty of it. But, you know, I coach basketball. That's all I hear is complaints. from parents, from players. Why isn't my daughter playing? My daughter knows better than that. You know, coach doesn't like me. What is he doing? You know, it's just natural for us to complain when things don't go our way. But through struggles, we have to find a positive. Something small and kind of build from there, but you gotta have to find a positive. And for me, you know, when you look back on it, you know, it's easy to throw a pity party. But for me, you know, I could have been dead. You know, I don't like my situation, but I'd rather be 6 feet up than 6 feet down. You know, I could have been dead, could have had a brain injury, you know. I didn't lose all my marbles, you know, I feel like I lose some sometimes, but you know, things could be worse. And being in the hospital, you see some of the patients that get affected by brain injuries. It's not a pretty sight. So at least I was able to still be with my parents, still be with my brother, still have time with my son, and still have all my faculty. So you have to find a way to be positive no matter the situation. Pick something small and continue to build from there. And then I like to think, you know, what if, you know, we're being selfish when we have a bad attitude? What if Jesus had a bad attitude? What if he decided to tell God, I don't think I could die on a cross for to save mankind's sin? So again, that gives you true meaning. What would Jesus do? Remember the bands that everybody used to wear? You know, You got to think, if Jesus was selfish, not a bad attitude, we'd be in a world of hurt right now. So after the A, next letter up, the N represents a need. We must know that we need Jesus and need to lean on God through any situation. You know, we can't do it ourselves. And that goes back into the Bible. Even in Bible times, David needed to lean on God to fight Goliath. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, needed to lean on God in their defense. Job went through struggles. You know, he needed to lean on God. Jonah in the belly of the fish. You need to lean, he needed to lean on God. So you can go through the Bible and see a lot of people that needed to lean on God. So if they needed to lean on God then, it makes us think that we don't need to lean on God now through our times of trouble. And in order to lean on God, we gotta pray. You know, prayer is a powerful thing. Prayer is our communication, you know, with God. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And so that's what it's for. So when we're going through tough times, we have to learn that we need, you know, to lean on God. The D in stand is twofold. First part is, you gotta have some determination to get through your struggles. Okay, you gotta have some determination. I knew I had a tough road ahead of me. Having a spinal cord injury, I had to relearn. You know, growing up, I was always involved in sports, and sports came, you know, somewhat easy. You know, I never really sat the bench by any means. You know, I wasn't an all-star, but I wasn't at the bottom of the barrel either. But this was a new challenge. I had to learn how to crawl, roll over, sit up. So it's almost like starting over like a baby. I remember one time in the hospital, I was frustrated when I was going to rehab. First time I learned how to, when I got into a wheelchair, I was learning how to wheel around. My left arm was broke, and so I was a little weaker. Well, there was this little girl that was there. Her dad was in a construction accident, and so he was getting some rehab on the table next to me. She just hopped in the chair, and she was gone. In the wheelchair, rolling around, going through things. She's probably about 5 or 6 years old. And first time I get in the chair, all I'm doing is going in a circle. I couldn't do anything. I was struggling. So seeing her dart around, I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good. So, you know, you got to, no matter what, you still got to have some determination. There's going to be some dark days. You know, there's going to be some struggles. You're not going to make the progress each and every day like you think. Because having a spinal cord injury, your spinal cord only heals a millimeter a day, if that at all. And when I talk about not moving, I got hurt in May, and I wasn't able to move anything until probably late September. I was finally able to move my toe, my right toe. I'll always remember that. And man, when I figured I could move my toe, I was moving all night. Moving my toe. The nurses were so happy. They came in, they brought balloons, we had pain, you know, everything. Just for moving the toe. And if you would have told me, you know, 20 years ago and I have a party for moving my toe, I would think you were crazy. But every little step you have to take, you know, in stride. And the thing about spinal cord injuries is you can't base your improvement on what somebody else is doing, because everybody is different in their growth. So it's not like the doctor is, you know, you get a hip replacement or an ACL, or the doctor can come in and say, hey, in 3 weeks you'll be here, sprained ankle, in 5 weeks you'll be here. They tell you that you get most of your movement back, if you're gonna get any at all, within that year. Well, I didn't have much going on in that year, so I'm like, oh, this is not gonna be good. It took me, and we talk about patience and trust, it took 5 years, 1,845 days of patience, trust, determination, to where I was finally able to get on the walker and take my first steps on a walker. Now, they weren't the ideal steps, but at least I was up, you know. So that's where your trust and your faith and your patience. And those are all things we have to work on, that, you know, come into play. And once you get to your determination, and you fight to get through whatever you're going through, you gotta have some direction in where you're going. Because you go through all this, and if you're not going in the right direction, doesn't make any difference. So where am I coming from? Where am I going? Who's going with me? I don't know how many of you guys have gone on vacation this summer and took off on a plane, going a direction. Well, if you think about a plane, and the pilot says there are four things that happen on a plane that you have to master. You gotta have lift, you gotta have thrust, you have weight, and you have drag. And those are the four things you have to master for the plane to take off in a direction. These same principles apply to the people you surround yourself with in life. Because you have to surround yourself with people going in the same direction if you're gonna get somewhere, if you're gonna be able to stand. And so we'll talk about the lift first. You know, there are some people who are gonna lift you up. They're gonna brighten your day, they're gonna cheer you up no matter what. They're gonna make you feel better about yourself. You meet them and you have a spring in your step. You know, that's what the lift does. Then you got some people in your life who are gonna thrust, who are gonna provide thrust. They're gonna inspire you, they're gonna motivate you, they're gonna challenge you to move forward. They're gonna help you pursue your dreams and set your goals. And when you're going through something, you really find out who your true friends are. They're gonna be with you through thick and through thin. Because a lot of people, you go through something where you get in a fight and they say, I got your back. And yeah, they got your back, but it's way back there, you know. Then you're gonna have some people, the third group are weights. And those people, they pull you down. They dump their problems on you. So that they leave you feeling heavier, negative, discouraged, and worse than you did before. Now I'm sure there's nobody in here that knows anybody like that. And then finally, there's the drag. And those people always have a sad song. I like to liken that to one of those old country songs. My dog died, the dishwasher broke, got too many bills, somebody did it wrong, didn't get invited to the party. You guys probably know some of those people as well. So you spend time with them and they make you feel like you've run a marathon. You just mentally drained. Well, we all encounter these four types of people in our everyday life. But for you to know the direction that God wants to take you, you got to spend time with the lifters and the thrusters. If you're hanging out with the weights and drags, you'll never be able to stand, shoot, on the outside, inside, anyway. You got to surround yourself with people who are going in the same direction. You know, you live long enough in life, you're going to encounter some struggles. You know, I don't have a market corner on struggles. This is just my story. You know, some of you here know somebody that's dealing with alcohol, abuse, some type of sickness, job loss, and you might have lost a loved one. So there's things that are going on in our society each and every day. You know, Pastor Mike just talked about the shootings, the mass shootings, and Ohio and El Paso. Those are the things that, you know, you're gonna encounter, and you gotta find a way not to become discouraged. You gotta find a small way to encourage those people and to help those people. You know, challenges are the gifts that force us to search for a new center of gravity. You can't let that challenge force you to sit down until you can overcome those challenges. You know, you're gonna have to find a new way to stand. And that's something I've had to find, is a new way to stand. I'm not quite where I want to be, and I'm gonna continue to strive to become better and do better, but I just had to find a new way to stand. And if you can't stand on the outside, until you can stand on the outside, just stay on the inside. And keep standing on the inside. So that is my message to you. This is just my story, and I hope I said something to uplift each and every one of you all here today. Thank you very much, and may God continue to bless you as you continue on your journey through life. family on the inside.